This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And you're welcome to The Debrief. I'm joined in the studio by Acting Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, Paul Hosford, News Reporter with the Press Association, Gráinne Nié, and Public Policy Advisor, Oisín Coughlan. And you're all welcome to the show. When you came in, I said to you, we won't talk about the match because everybody's so fed up. But we will talk about the match, I've decided. I've changed my mind because how different would the rest of this year have been if we were heading to America?
It would have been incredible.
Like, would have changed everything.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you see, and somebody made the point last night, that really what the last couple of months have been really important for is reconnecting the Irish men's football team with the Irish public.
Yeah.
That sense of ownership. And you could feel it yesterday.
That's what Owen Shane was saying this morning from Off the Ball, that there was just this between the fans and the team last night. You could see how hard they were fighting, how much they wanted it. Yes, they didn't get there, but we have a bond now. We're with them.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to keep that. And I don't necessarily think that people should be judged for not going on Tuesday. I think that that kind of runners up thing against North Macedonia, nobody really wants to be there, kind of funereal march around Lansdowne Road. But I think at the start of the next qualifiers, it's really important that people do support and fill out Lansdowne and make Lansdowne a really good place to go and watch a game of football again. Because, yeah, look, this team is, they're young and like they might be technically limited, but they are chaotic and they're
they're
full of effort, and yeah. I think they have this talisman in Troy Parrott that everyone can connect with, and you saw the emotion last night, and I really think that it's important just to carry that through. I think, look, last night you can spend hours breaking it down. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it was a huge mistake not to be practicing penalties ahead of any knockout game, but that's.
And yeah, the last 6 months shows it's bigger than just sport. Compared to other sports, the ability of the national men's at the moment and women's soccer team to unify the nation is, you know, those of us who are old enough to remember 1990 or even 2002, although there was a split, people hadn't realised that, or we hadn't seen that for such a long time. And again, the Irish supporters in Prague and Ireland, there's no other better expression of nationalism than Irish supporters. It's fun, it's silly, there's no edge to it. It's really lovely to see that.
Yeah. I think one of the best things about sport are the stories that come from it. And yesterday we really got a sense of what it would have been like being in the World Cup, all the fans telling the story of how they got to Prague, all the fans talking about how they had come up with these costumes of parrots and, you know, were being offered money for them. That really like made people's day yesterday. And I think we have a lot to thank of the team for getting to that qualifier match, because we wouldn't have had yesterday if Troy Parrott hadn't scored that hat trick against Hungary. And we did get a sense of the magic and a taste of the magic, even though we didn't go the whole way. And I think we can be thankful for that, but I also think there's a lot to be hopeful for in the future. But those stories were just so brilliant to watch yesterday.
But Gráinne, in terms of how we all feel and how we would have felt had we been going to the USA this summer, like, we have a government grappling with how to deal with rising fuel costs. Sure, we would have forgotten about it all. We would have been handing over our money for the for the diesel and the petrol, thinking, sure, we're going to have a great summer. Not quite, but it would have helped.
That happens a lot where the nation gets behind a sporting event and their hope goes into that and everything's going to be okay because we have this team to root for and matches to watch in the evening. All right, I was in town last night with fans and I overheard someone say, guess I'll go back to my miserable life. So, they were leaving.
I think we should just tell ourselves now that we don't want to go to Trump's America anyway, but, and all, you know, the stories would be about ICE detention and we were better off
It was interesting that Simon Harris put up an Instagram post saying, I know there's a lot of challenges in the world, people need positivity, and I think the government needed the positivity of that men's team going to the World Cup and giving everybody something to root for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, let's talk now about what the government tried to do on the fuel costs, Oisín. I mean, they were criticised for not going far enough. They push back and they say, look, we need to keep something in the tank here, pun intended, because we just don't know what's going to happen. But do you think that they did enough this week?
I mean, they had to do something. The shock was so sudden and so big, even compared to the time when Russia invaded Ukraine. But I think it is worth remembering that, like, Ireland is going to be poorer because of this. The government is not responsible for the price shock. And John Fitzgerald, the economist, said, like, we're going to be poorer one way. Either we pay higher prices now or we pay higher taxes to fund the cushion. But it's about who pays most and who the government protects. So that to do something. I don't think they were progressive enough in what they did. Mm-hmm. The ERSI pointed out that 50% of the excise duty cut goes to the top 40% of income households, because in that 40%, car ownership is like 90% plus. In the bottom 20%, it's like less than 66%. So it was skewed towards the richer. If they'd spent that money on you know, a higher fuel allowance again, or on people with one fare and families or disability, it would have been more progressive than the excise cut.
Yeah, but the people who have had to fill their car this week to get to work and have no money left at the end of the week just won't see that argument and won't agree with it, won't ever agree with it.
I think that in given how sharp the spike was, there is a justification for something universal. But now we have to start planning for the budget, and that's where we have to have, like, inflation is going to be higher. We have to, I know that Vincent DePaul and Social Justice Ireland have been calling for years for mm-hmm. core social welfare rates to be linked to inflation. They're the people who are going to be most suffering when all prices go up in the next 6 months, and the government needs to focus on that.
Yeah, the government may have to dip back into the bag though, because this is only takes up till May, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this goes till the end of May. And one of the things that you see with it is, if something happens in Iran between the US and Iran, and there is a peace agreement, that mm-hmm. there's a cessation of the fighting there, this government will look benevolent and they'll look fantastic, because they jumped in ahead and they did more than was required. And if by the end of May diesel and petrol prices have gone back to where they were pre this war, then the government will look very, I suppose, proactive. The problem is that if it goes beyond May, and at the minute it's impossible to say one way or the other what will happen. If it goes beyond May, you're again talking about going into your financial headroom. Yeah, and everyone in government this week very keen to point out we are working with a surplus and it's a much better place to be than we were 15 years ago if we had to react to anything like this. But you're talking about €250 million to buy you 6 weeks. If you extrapolate that out till the end of the summer, the end of the year,
no money in the pot for the budget.
Yeah, your financial headroom is completely eaten up. What the effect that it has on inflation, the effect that it would have beyond that, competing demands into the budget, as Oisin's touched on, that, you know, you start to find yourself in a much tighter space really, really yeah. quickly. And what have you bought yourself is the question. Now, there's an argument to say that if you go back to 2024, that the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael coalition probably eked out holding on to power in that general election as one of the only incumbent governments in Europe to do so, because they were willing to launch money at things like energy credits, excise cuts, and that they just kind of kept the wolves from the door. Nobody loved them for it. If you look at polling, nobody comes to the government and falls at the feet of Dara O'Brien.
Because soon forgotten.
Exactly. So you're not necessarily buying yourself a massive amount of goodwill. You're not you're not buying yourself much cheaper fuel. I mean, I filled up on the way in, €2.08.
It was €2.08 for petrol, was it?
For diesel.
For diesel.
You know, nobody's fallen on their knees thanking the government for that. But it's you're buying yourself time. And the problem is that you're buying yourself time in a situation where you don't have any lever to control it.
But Dara O'Brien was in here during the week and he was very focused on the reduction that they have given. There's the rebate and the reduction in the excise that will go to the hauliers. And if they don't address that, we're all going to pay more. I mean, that is clear, isn't it?
It's very hard to control for the government to do a lot on groceries and a lot to do on fuel, because at the end of the day, they're private companies and that is the system we operate in. And they can soften the blow, but there's not a lot that they can do about it. Now, it's a tricky issue for the government because, as Oisin said, everyone's feeling the pain, but they can't help everyone. You know, they have learned the energy credits. I know there wasn't a shift in the poll, but the government did, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael did get back into government after rolling out those energy credits. So they were massively popular. I know talking to people, they stuck with people and people really relied on them. But that being said, you can't do them again because they're too universal, and the ESRI and IFAC have warned of the inflationary impact that those can have, which makes things worse, even though on the surface it doesn't seem like it. there is an inflationary impact on that. So the government have to be really surgical with anything they do. One of the things I think of here is it's not just grocery prices and fuel, even though that's the issue at the moment. It's the cost of housing. It's the cost of insurance. It's the cost of childcare. It's the cost of everything in Ireland being so prohibitively expensive that maybe the government should look at other costs, even though groceries and fuel are the things that are rising now, that it's actually the foundation of high costs in general that people are really feeling.
There was a contradiction there this week that state exam fees have been reintroduced, and that on the one hand, if you're a family who has two cars but two kids in junior cert and leaving cert, you're getting something back on the pumps. But for the first time in 5 or 6 years since COVID, you're going to have to pay 116 or 140 euro for your children to do their state exams. So there is that overall, and this is something that the cost of living packages were kind of designed around in the budget. You know, you were talking about cuts to third level, you were talking about help with childcare. This is one very, very small part of the overall high cost of living.
Yeah.
And nothing structural, like Rania says, is addressed.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about. But if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
There's another bill that people really object to, and that is for their TV service. And we know that there are hundreds of thousands of people who have dodgy boxes. And in the High Court this week, Sky got permission to get the details of 304 customers who are paying using their Revolut card for a dodgy box. I was having a chat with somebody about this yesterday, and they stood there and paused for a minute and said, you know, I don't know anyone who doesn't have one. I don't. But my point is, it's a very common practice. And what is it about a TV service that people think, no, I shouldn't have to pay for
it? I think we think all media is public service broadcasting, and we should get it for free. And we got BBC and ITV or UTV free from an area when I was a kid. And I think we just presumed we should always get them for free. Mm-hmm. And Tom Gilday was elected in Donegal in 1997 on a legalised deflectors so that you get the cross-border television. I just think we want our television for free. My bugbear is that I pay for mine.
Yeah, I pay too, a lot.
And I can't record anymore.
Yes.
And that's okay on RTE because I can go to the player. But on BBC, you can't use the
iPlayer. Yeah.
So it's been my position for a long time that as part of the negotiations for United Ireland, I'll join the Commonwealth if we can get free access to the iPlayer. That's my bottom line.
But the BBC.
That does hit at the point, though, where people are willing to pay. People have shown for years, Irish people are above average in terms of subscriptions to streaming services across the board. But the problem is that Silicon Valley and big tech in general came to people in the mid-2000s and they said, you don't need ExtraVision or Chartbusters because we've got all the movies you want for fiver a month on Netflix. And that was great. And people flocked to Netflix and the physical stores shut down. And then you're in 2026 where if you think of a random film that you saw in the mid-2000s that you would like to see again, or even go back further, if you go to Amazon Prime or the Sky Store or Apple, you have to pay to rent it. So renting is back. You're paying for the subscription in the first place. So everything has become segmented. So you've got so many streaming services. It's not that people don't want to pay. It's that they want access to what they were promised originally, which was access to everything rather than paying 20 euro a month for one and then
for another. And if you like sport, forget it. Like I saw the average figure of, you know, it's about 100, 120 for a couple of different streaming services. Add sport in on top of that and you're stretching to 200 for those services.
Yeah, and I think I couldn't agree more with what Paul said, because a lot of the TV offerings are not tailored to what an individual might want. So you might want the BBC, you might want sport. You know, if it's in a Winter Olympics, people are like, I want to be able to watch that. And it doesn't give people flexibility to go what they want to watch. Like, I am quite into movies, I'm quite into old movies. If I want to go watch that, I have to pay YouTube or Google €4 or €5,
yeah,
similar to the renting thing, to watch that. Because what has happened is Netflix and all those other streaming services offer TV shows and movie packages, but actually the movies on it are kind of crap. Like, they're kind of just filler. And I don't want to watch any of these, you know, but then you're making me watch crap films because I'm paying something a certain amount of month. It just doesn't make any sense.
I get angry
anymore
about it when we want to watch a family film and I'm paying for all of these services and there is nothing.
And
on.
Is it me? And it's actually not. It's the service, the offering. Because there are films there I want to watch, but they're not on the... And I think another thing, you know, when a film comes out in the cinema and you might miss it, like, there should be a way of watching it at home, especially if people are busy or have kids, because they can't make it out to the cinema or they can't afford to do it either. And there's a gap there as well, because there's such a lag before
that
they end up.
That gap's getting
on the
smaller and smaller. Seeing
it
like
is.
Netflix releasing things for a couple of weeks to the theatre.
But
there's a joke at the Oscars about, oh, look, it's the head of Netflix here. It's the first time he's ever been in a theatre.
Yes. Yeah, Conan O'Brien was making that jab. But I think the TV channels sometimes expect, like, you should want to come to us. You should just come to us instead of like meeting people where they want and what they want and a tailoring it to what how people live their lives.
We have 1 minute left, but I do want to talk about Chapel Roan and what happened this week with Chapel Roan and her security guard and this big
wild blow-up. Not her security guard. Mm.
Well, it wasn't her security guard, but the whole thing has been linked to her and that apology she gave, which I think was ill-advised because she was in bed when she gave the apology. Is she in the right or is she in the wrong? Should she be cancelled? Paul?
I thought that the, you know, former Chelsea midfielder Jorginho hits out at Chapel Roan over her treatment of his stepdaughter, who's Jude Law's daughter with an Irish singer. It's one of those things. I read it at 5 a.m. on Monday morning and I thought the Matrix has glitched here, because I understand all of the constituent parts, but none of it makes sense. Look, I think if you stream somebody's music, if you go to a show, they don't necessarily owe you their private time. That would be my take on it. But also at the same time, just don't be mean to kids.
But she, wasn't mean to anybody. Mm. And it wasn't even her security guard. It was Sabrina Carpenter's security guard. And I don't think stars do owe us anything other than the expression of their talent. I mean, I was a teenage Madonna fan. I think I would have expected to be tackled to the ground by her security if I tried to approach her hotel table in the 1980s. So, like, I think there's this new parasocial, almost parasitic relationship we have with celebrities because of social media. And I think it's unfair. Like, I think her music's great and that's the deal.
I think her music's great. Well, she's not mad about her fans, though, is she?
I'm conflicted on it, because I think celebrities are created by their fans.
Yeah.
You know, that is what makes them money. And they can't, I think it's more complicated for sports stars, the relationship between fans, because they are just athletes performing. People watch them, of course, and if they get sponsorship deals, that's part of it. But it is a complicated, symbiotic relationship.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming in. That brings us to the end of the show and to the end of the week. Thank you very much for listening. You can go back and listen to anything you might have missed on the Go Loud app. A huge thank you to all of the team on the programme.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.